The Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, the death of Project Semicolon founder Amy Buell, the study that discovered a group of white middle-aged Americans are dying what they call deaths of despair. What do these three things have in common? Well, let's call it an absence of hope. In troubling times, it's easy to put your finger on everything that's going wrong. And we're given the idea that focusing on the problems is somehow the right thing, the mature thing to do, while focusing on the good makes you naive or foolish. But it's also what makes life worth living for people at any age. But where does hope and resilience, the ability to bounce back when life deals you a blow or a flurry of them, where do hope and resilience come from? Can you learn skills to immunize, in quotes, yourself and the people you love from deaths of despair? Can you do hope and resilience building, like a physical workout, to strengthen those mental and emotional muscles? This week, we'll try to find out. Our guest this morning is Dan Dallard. He's a psychologist at the Duluth Psychological Clinic. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Lisa.
So we'll talk a little bit this morning as I think about the some of the examples that I just listed, and I think about some of the contributing factors, and I think about people who have lost hope, whether it's a momentary thing or whether they look at their lives with the eyes of their experience, pardon me, whether that experience is 16 years of life or 30 years of life, whatever it might be, and said, I have nothing to hope for. So when things end, a job, a relationship, a friendship, how do we start building those hope and resilience muscles?
First off, thanks so much for addressing this increasingly important topic. Hope and resilience are important frames for this conversation, and how do we build them? Well, when the future promises new experiences for us, one of the ways we build hope is we say these new experiences will bring renewed reasons to be hopeful and optimistic and to live. When the future doesn't promise new experiences necessarily, the next best, or maybe even the best way, is to believe that tomorrow will bring a new perspective on our experiences. The greatest predictor of despair and suicidal thinking is not our circumstances. It's actually our attitude toward our circumstances. And tomorrow may not bring a new job, a new relationship, a new tangible reasons to be hopeful, but it may bring a new perspective to our thinking. We are incredibly unpredictable animals, and our brains bring us new angles on things all the time. So a bedrock reason to keep going and an element of resilience for those people who have it is the ability and willingness to adopt new perspectives on unchanged circumstances.
And that can be really tricky as an older person. I speak from a person who tends to dig her heels in and say, you're trying to trick me. It's not no blah, blah. Younger people, something you mentioned to me that I thought was really interesting is that younger people are more likely these days now to be diagnosed with depression than older people. Does that have to do with our knowing better and doing better, or does that have to do with older people still kind of digging in their heels about not wanting to seek help?
And more. I think that older folks who are despairing are less likely to meet clinical criteria for depression, and that's come through a lot of different studies. We know that. However, depression may look different for older folks. Depression may have more to do with the cognitive and physical aspects of depression rather than emotional. When we're assessing suicide, we tend to lead with questions about emotions. Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling down? Those may be less salient characteristics for older folks who don't necessarily feel sad or down, but have a limited horizon regarding their future, believe that their physical functioning will deteriorate in a way that will irreducibly reduce their quality of life, etc. So it may be that we're just not asking the right questions about elder suicide, or elder risk for depression, So that's one answer. The other is that we're continually refining our sense of what depression is, what the criteria are for it, et cetera, how it gets expressed, and how it's related to risk for suicide.
So the good news for people that are concerned about young people and who are worried about young people is that there are more genuine efforts to reach out to young people and to give them that new perspective and give them skills that they can use.
Correct.
And I think one thing that really can't be overstated about the Netflix series, I watched it, and every adult in the series was a cartoon. Now, you need to do that for drama. You can't have drama without a lack of communication. Anybody who's ever watched a soap opera, even for 5 or 10 minutes, knows that nobody ever says the truth to anybody. Everybody keeps secrets, and they all say, oh, it's for their own good, or they wouldn't understand. And nobody tells the truth, and nobody talks about anything. And that's the only way that you can keep, you know, people engaged for a soap opera. But it's a lousy way to conduct real life. And in real life, there are the people there for young people in most instances. Do you agree, Dan?
I agree entirely. And people not only there, but knowing how to access resources that can be helpful to someone who's despairing, and knowing the things to say. There is an increasing suicide awareness movement in this country, and I believe elsewhere, where people, again, know what to say to be helpful in the moment rather than, oh, you'll get through it, or something facile and unhelpful.
Cheer up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yeah, I know. The weather's really been getting me down, too.
This will pass. Yeah.
Right.
And there is an increasing awareness of how to get people in touch with therapists, counselors, hotline specialists, medicines that can be helpful and that can lift the despair that leads to suicidal thinking.
One of the things that we're also going to be talking about a little bit later this week when it comes to some of those skills, there is a little truth to the sorts of things that you're saying. You do hit a point in your life where I'm not getting physically any healthier. I'm not, you know, I maybe don't have these exciting things necessarily to look forward to. And as people struggle with different economic realities, different realities in their lives, it's harder to make friends when you get to be an older person. But some of these cognitive skills, the CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy, the DBT, the dialectical behavioral therapy, some of these work really well to go right to where an older person is in terms of helping them reframe. Can you explain just kind of, well, like I say, we'll talk about it a little later, but can you explain a little bit how that works so that people go, oh, wow, I didn't know there was such a thing?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought the conversation to this place. To use dialectical behavior therapy, which is a sort of therapy that was not developed specifically for folks who are considering suicide or despairing, but has broad applications, there's a technique within that called improve the moment. And it focuses on not solving the broad existential problems of your life or improving necessarily a relationship or something that involves another person, but simply making this moment bearable. And sometimes that's what we need. Our mental states often are transient, including despairing states. And if we can improve the moment enough to get ourselves to a good night's sleep or to a more hopeful place or to the next supportive a conversation with someone, etc., sometimes that is enough to get us through that despairing moment. And how do you improve the moment? Sometimes it's very simple and straightforward. I listen to music I really enjoy. I do a crossword puzzle. I reach out to someone I haven't spoken with in a while. I give a friendly greeting to the mail carrier. I do right by my neighbor. It does not have to be elaborate. We sometimes get caught thinking that to help the person who's despairing or for that person to help themselves, they need to do something dramatic. Often it's often very quotidian.
And come on, let's go for a walk. Or I've got to run this errand. Will you go with me? Or
that's exactly right.
Fill in the blank.
That's exactly right. The scale doesn't matter. If it improves the moment, that's good enough for right now.
And we'll be talking about all kinds of different ways to build hope and resilience and also learning how to do the right thing when it comes to reaching out to people in our lives. Lots of Resources are available. Lots of help is available. You just need to connect the person with that stuff or connect yourself with that stuff if that's where your head is. Our series, This Is Why Not, Finding Hope and Resilience in Troubled Times, continues all this week right here on Northland Morning.